government guidelines saying there's no safe level of alcohol consumption, and both women and men being advised not to regularly drink more than 14 units a week. Some people protest we're living in a nanny state, but for others, it's marshalled their thoughts as to whether they should maybe take a break from drinking altogether. But if you want to cut down or stop the booze, how do you take those first steps? Here to guide us into a booze-free zone is someone who did just that. My guest this morning is Rory Fairburns from One Year No Beer. Hello, Rory. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, Rory, let's face it, we're Anglo-Saxons. Drinking is kind of ingrained in our DNA.
Definitely.
What's your story? How did One Year No Beer come into being? Why was it the right challenge for you, Rory?
Talking from that, I'm actually born on the Isle of Mull in Scotland, so I've never been too far away from a dram or two. I've found myself moving down to London as a broker. I've been a broker in the city for the last 10 years, and I wanted to stop drinking. I knew it was sort of holding me back in some way. But it's not about being an addict or anything like that. It's the fact that society expects you to drink. Whenever you meet up with somebody, you know, every celebration, everything revolves around booze, and people look at you funny if you don't drink. There's this huge pressure, it was actually an anger management course I did. I think I was feeling very frustrated in life, and I decided to do an anger management course. And it was on that course that it said that alcohol and caffeine are the biggest instigators of booze. Of anger. So I decided, right, that's it. I'm going to put them aside for 90 days and see how I feel. And the change in my life was so fundamental. My marriage improved, my fitness improved, my health improved, but I knew I needed to do something about helping other people.
Let's talk about that. I mean, it's important to stress, actually, at this point, I feel, you're not a medic, you're not a specialist in alcohol and how it relates to health, but how did you personally benefit from not drinking mentally and physically? You've mentioned the anger management course. How did it feel overall?
So I've done Dry January before, and I think for most people, they do Dry January, they hide away and avoid friends because they don't want to deal with that pressure. By doing 90 days, that's when you really start to feel the difference. So to me, it felt like a bit like the Matrix, like waking up all of a sudden. I felt all this energy, this productivity increase. I've not been drinking now for 18 months, so I increased my business by 30%. I reduced my expenses at work by 50%. I went from 28% body fat down to 10% body fat. My wife and I regularly agree we're more in love than we ever were before. So the benefits are enormous from cutting out that regular drinking.
Wow, that's amazing. I expected you to say you felt a little bit better, but that is quite incredible. Quitting smoking and ditching an unhealthy diet, all that kind of stuff, it's not necessarily, it's not that easy just to stop this negative or harmful behaviour. So, I mean, you and Andy, you decided it wasn't going to be, obviously it wasn't the smoking or an unhealthy diet, but it was the drinking. So you and Andy, you created this website to help other people, and you also offer a free ebook to download as an aid and a motivator to help us on the straight and narrow. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So we sat down together and we realized that the biggest thing was, for us, was overcoming the peer pressure, was the fact that not drinking is uncool. How can we make it into being cool? What can you say in the pub the moment you walk up to the bar and your friends are there and they say, hey, what are you having to drink? You've got a few seconds to say something. How can we create that? So we built a challenge. We've branded the site very sport-focused. We get people to book something in advance, like a half marathon or a 5K or something that challenges you after the 90 days, and you focus on that. Every day, obviously the ebook is supplied to sort of get you to become more aware of your habits. Why are you drinking? What are you actually searching for? You know, is it relaxation you're looking for? Well, you can find that in other ways. And so we teach you all these alternative ways, healthy habits to pick up so that during your 90 days, you've learned a lot and you can learn to live a life sober. And also there's an online community which is thriving 90 days of support emails.
And the thing I actually wanted to ask you, just following on from that whole thing about the website and the ebook and all that kind of stuff, and like, it just sort of crossed my mind, that just thinking that most of us, whether it's a diet or it's exercise or whatever it is that works for us, that suits us, we are all as a nation pretty self-serving, and most of us follow our regime in our own sweet way. What made you go the extra mile and share your methods with the ebook and the website and all that kind of stuff with others? Because effectively, you know, what is your motivation to effectively make your more work for yourself?
Yeah, that's the thing for this. I just felt so trapped by trapped, controlled, I don't know what the right words are, by alcohol in my life, and that I wanted a change. And I, once I realized I could make the change, and once I got past that initial difficult period, I realized actually it's extremely easy. So now I've realized that I can give a gift to somebody. I can give them a magic pill. I can give you something which is going to, you know, make you feel better. It's going to make you lose weight. It's going to make you sleep better. It's going to improve the relationships with your family. I can do that really easy. I can give you that pill tomorrow. All you got to do is stop drinking, and those things will start to come to you. And the thing about alcohol is it's an instigator. So somebody says to you, do you want a drink? You say yes to that. You go down to the pub, you have a drink. It turns into one or two or three drinks. Then you cancel the personal trainer. You grab a kebab on the way home. You're feeling hungover the next day. You eat bad the next day. So this negative spiral happens. Whereas if you ask the question and you say, no, I don't want that, then actually you carry on eating the right things you meant to. You go to the personal trainer. You do get fit and you make those healthy choices. So the difference is exponential.
I suppose we all quite like the idea of a magic pill. And as I said before, you're not a spokesperson or an expert on alcohol or social mores. We have to make that very clear. But in your experience, from running your site and talking to people anecdotally, do you have this feeling that our drinking culture is age-specific when it comes to peer pressure in having a drink? I'm just thinking, are younger people more under pressure, or is it across the board?
It's a very interesting question. Actually, millennials, those youngers coming through now, only one in 50 are likely to drink. So it's very, very different. The peer pressure is very different for younger people. I sit next to junior brokers now, and they don't want to drink, and they don't have to. So it's very different. If you look at the science behind it, what happened, I've seen a fantastic article about peak booze. In 1975 to 1990, the alcohol advertising laws changed, and alcohol was advertised as a refreshing drink. For me, that was my parents. They were then marketed to heavily. 2004 is peak booze. That's when this country was absolutely saturated in alcohol. And we are still living through those motions. The younger people coming through today who haven't been aggressively advertised to are not behaving like that. And I know that as an older generation, which is as a 35-year-old, wherever I am now, this site is geared specifically for that generation. And if we all stand up and say, you know what, actually I'm going to take a break, and it's cool if I do, and it's cool if you do too, then even more of these millennials won't drink as well.
That's interesting. I was expecting you to say something the other way around. So it's actually middle-aged drinkers really that are the problem drinkers these days.
Exactly.
Roy, if listeners relate to your story and it echoes to some of their personal experience and they want to try and cut down on the booze at least, or maybe follow the 1 year no beer challenge, what first steps can they take?
Well, the first thing is don't look at it as a year. So we've created a 30-day, 90-day, and a 365-day package. It's all free at the moment, so you go and read the book. The important thing about the book is it makes you aware of your habits. Why are you looking for alcohol at these periods? Is it for social inclusion, or is it for that? So I would say the first step for you is to read up something. It's not just our book. There's plenty of other great books. Jason Vale's book is fantastic. Alan Carr. Have a read of one of these books just to really challenge what's in your brain. Then I would say start swapping out your habits for healthy habits, and we'll help you do that. We've got a huge community of people now. In fact, we've got over 3,000 people in 4 weeks since we launched, all across the world. So it's growing very, very quickly.
So are you saying, Roy, that if someone wants to reduce the booze, should they do it incrementally and then stop, or should they just stop straight away?
Yeah, and some people have come onto our system and just use the site and forum as a way to moderate a bit more and start learning alternative habits. I think it works. You know, it's different horses for different courses. For me, I gave up for 90 days initially. I could never have done a year. It's just crazy. Then I fell on to longer period. Once I started to feel the benefits of not drinking, I was like, you know what, I'm going to carry this on. And 1 year no beer gives you the support after the 30 days, after the 90 days, okay. Unlike Try January or something like that.
Right. And should they tell people they're doing this challenge? Does this help their motivation, or does it actually add to the pressure if they end up falling off the wagon, so to speak?
Yeah, well, the reason why we called it 1 year no beer is you can say to somebody, I'm doing the 1 year no beer challenge, and that stops them dead in their tracks. And that was what it was designed for in the first place, to create an excuse for everybody. So I think actually there's lots of science behind sharing with your social friends the challenges that you're on and helping them support you.
Should you actually avoid wine bars and pubs or any environment that serves alcohol initially, do you reckon?
No, definitely not. That's, again, how we've a completely different system, and we're working with the non-alcoholic brands to improve the offering in pubs and clubs, because if you do avoid those places, you're going against your basic need to be sociable, your basic need to spend time with friends. Don't do that.
Okay.
Tell your friends you're doing the challenge and choose a different drink, that's all.
Okay, let's talk about the peer pressure. If a friend or a work colleague tries to put pressure on you to have a drink, how can you manage that scenario? What can you say or do to withstand that social pressure? Should you just come out and say, I'm doing the 1 year no beer challenge, and like you say, stop people in their tracks? I mean, do you think there's more pressure on people to conform, for example, in a work context even?
Yeah, definitely. And it varies on the person. We've met many people who are like, oh, I don't know what this peer pressure thing is. I'm like, wow, well done, lucky you. Whereas for me, I need to be everybody's best friend, so I have a huge amount of peer pressure on me.
I just thought to myself, my husband's a print journalist, and in the old days when he started out, it was a pretty normal thing to have a few pints at lunchtime. And I was just thinking, some careers kind of lend themselves more to feel obliged to have a drink to fit in. And I can imagine loads of scenarios, again, depending on the sort of career you have, taking a client out to lunch, you know, creating bonds with clients is often over a couple of glasses of wine, because it kind of replicates the relaxed environment that we have with friends. So it's quite tricky, isn't it?
It is. I just think you have to swap the way you entertain, and that's what I've had to do over the last 18 months. I've grown my broking business by changing the way I entertain people. You know, I entered a 5 kilometer relay race. I had 5 teams of 5 guys around the Olympic Stadium. There was weeks and weeks, if not months, of camaraderie and conversation and training and talking. And I do a spin club. We go out for a spin class, and then we go for a steak afterwards. And they might have a glass of wine. That's fine, but I don't drink. So it's just, you know, and everybody feels quite euphoric after having a spin class. So I just think you need to, and this is what 1 year no beer will help you do, is change the way you do things to achieve the same result.
Yes, and I'm thinking you're talking about habit-forming things, aren't you? Like drinking booze, like many other things, is as much about habit as anything, because you could sit down maybe for a meal and have a glass of wine, or maybe you plonk yourself in front of your favourite chair after a hard day at work and you open a can of something in front of the telly, and there's probably, you know, traits that many of us recognise. It does become a routine, doesn't it? So your tips basically to give help to someone to break that routine and break that drinking mindset is, like you say, to create new habits, really, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. What about now? You've said that you haven't been drinking for 18 months because you gave up the booze and then you started drinking a little bit again and then you stopped, didn't you? Is that right?
That's right, exactly. I did the year, and then I thought, you know, I'm gonna try moderating for a bit. And moderating is fine until you meet a friend and he says, oh, you know, you're back on the sauce. Oh, well, yeah, I had a beer last night with this other friend, but I don't really want to drink tonight. What do you mean? Why didn't you want to drink with me? Oh, okay, yeah, you're right, I'll have a beer. And that was how moderating went for me, because, you know, actually, people, when you are drinking, you're either on or off. And this is, again, different horses for different courses.
Yes.
But getting back to that moderation didn't work for me. It led up to a Christmas day and another monumental argument with my wife, and we both looked at each other the next day and went, you know, there's one extra thing in our life right now, and that's alcohol. Mm. Let's get it out, because we don't normally fight like that.
Okay, what about people feeling a little bit terrified at the prospect of giving up altogether? They want to sort of have a better relationship with alcohol, and they want to maybe cut down or maybe stop for a little while, but they do want to kind of reset their drinking baseline after a challenge. Is that quite easy to do? I mean, you've said it was quite difficult for you, but in general, the experience you've had from running the site, because I'm just thinking, again, people have trouble with yo-yo dieting. It can be similar for people to try and find that baseline. If 1 minute they're on booze and the next minute they're off it,
Yeah, definitely. And these are the really important things about one year no beer. First of all, slip-ups, perfectly acceptable. Everyone slips up to drink here, or oops, a couple of beers there. It doesn't matter. Carry on. We don't reset you back to day one. It's not about avoiding even alcohol and food during 90 days. This is a really, you know, friendly environment just to get it out. If you want to learn to moderate, it's a great place to come and just listen to people. We got quite a few people who are moderating as well, and they're just choosing, you know, actually, I'm not going to do that everyday glass of wine now. I might just bring that down to the weekend or something like that. It's again changing one habit here or one habit there, or just choosing it for one day or not. So plenty of support for people who want to learn to moderate also.
Okay. It does actually demonstrate what you said, though, just how difficult it can be to set our own drinking template, so to speak, or our own drinking patterns. As you say, we're all very different. Okay, so if people are interested, how can they get in touch with you?
So the best way is to go to oneyearnobeer.com and sign up there. It's free. We'll give you an ebook, which myself and Andy wrote with the four leading professors at University of East London. In habit change, and then when you sign up, you'll get access to all the forum areas and the daily support content.
Rory, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. I know you're a busy guy, so thank you so much for your time sharing your story, actually, on tips as well and how to cut down and give up the booze for a little bit. Thank you so much for joining me.
Good luck, everyone.
Thank you. That was Rory Fairburns. And if you want to take up the challenge, hook up to www.oneyearnobeer.com to pick up tips and get all the support you need.